it's hard not to see the impacts of climate change very much being a reality in the daily lives of the people on the ground. So when I met with many community members in Kiribati, they are telling us quite clearly that they're feeling the effects of the sea levels rising around them, of extreme weather events, so things like tropical cyclones becoming more and more intense, of droughts lasting longer, and also access to fresh drinking water becoming scarcer. So it's clear that climate change is very much affecting Pacific Islanders in, you know, particularly their livelihoods, health, food security, and general well-being. So it's very much in the foremind of many Pacific Islanders as a key issue facing them today.
And, of course, with the Pope's encyclical recently focusing on the dangers of climate change, what's next for Caritas to help people in the region deal with the effects of climate change?
Certainly the Pope's recent encyclical, The Care for Our Common Home, was a strong call not only to Catholics around the world, but also to the global family. He acknowledged that climate change is a man-made problem and therefore we must seek man-made solutions. And he called really strongly for leaders to act more swiftly and decisively to address the issue of climate change. And so Caritas Australia is really calling on the Australian government as a leader in the Pacific region to do much more on this issue of climate change. And specifically, we are calling on the Australian government to commit to a strong post-2020 targets on climate change, really setting targets to reduce our carbon emissions in the lead up to the UN climate change talks in December this year.
And as the Catholic Church's international aid agency, what sort of climate programs have you got in the region?
We have many climate change programs, and I think it's important recognition that as an aid and development organisation, we're increasingly acknowledging that, yes, we can keep dealing with the impacts of climate change, and that's very important, but we also have to support or help address the root causes that are driving climate change. So, for example, in the Solomon Islands, we've been working closely with local teachers on the ground to help them prepare young children in their classes for emergencies. So as we know, there's increasing extreme weather events as a result of climate change. We saw it earlier this year with Cyclone Pam coming through and destroying the islands of Vanuatu. So what we're trying to do is work closely with communities so they know what to do to prepare for and respond to these increasing extreme weather events such as cyclones.
And can you tell me something about the programs you've come up with the teachers and children?
We've been working in the Solomon Islands as well as Vanuatu with teachers and the surrounding community to use nursery rhymes to teach key messages about what to do in the event of an emergency. Our experience shows us that often it's young children who are most vulnerable to emergencies, and so what we've been trying to do is ensure that they've got the key messages with them to enable them to protect themselves in the event of a disaster. And what we also find is that by teaching these nursery rhymes with the key messages about responding to emergencies, is that they go back into the communities and sing these really simple songs and therefore teach the whole community about what to do.
So what sort of disasters do these nursery rhymes help the kids with?
The nursery rhymes have been tailored in different languages depending on what country they've been rolled out to, and specifically for the risks that are present in each country. So, for example, in the Solomon Islands, the songs focus on what to do in the event of a tsunami, an earthquake, cyclone and flooding.
You've just come back from Kiribati, obviously a low-lying island nation, where the president, Anote Tong, just last week said it's too late for them to do anything about the rising sea levels. What's your take on that?
Yes, just having recently returned from Kiribati, and actually last week I was at a conference where the president of Kiribati spoke. He spoke strongly from the heart, but it's also, you can tell that he's starting to feel quite exasperated by the lack of global leadership on the issue of climate change. And certainly, yes, he did talk about the need to move away from just more talking and the need for some solid action. And really, 2015 is it. It is the year to have some tangible results. We know this UN meeting is taking place at the end of this year. It'll bring together governments of 190 nations, and we hope to see at that meeting a new international agreement on curbing carbon emissions. So he may feel that the time has run out, but certainly Caritas Australia feels that we still need to keep pushing for these international agreements to curb this trajectory that we're on.
And you've got a new climate justice campaign called Common Home. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, well, this is really about asking the Australian public to stand solidly with us, with the communities whose voices we represent, as well as leaders like President Tong of Kiribati, to really call on world leaders, including Australian leaders, to take strong action on climate change. As I said earlier, it's not just about dealing with the effects of climate change, but what can we do to actually curb the tide of climate change? So I liken it to the analogy of not continuing to put an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff and deal purely with the effects, but putting a fence at the top of that cliff to ensure that we're actually reducing carbon emissions and slowing down the progress of climate change.